Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With Easter only 2 weeks away, I wonder if any of you have given much thought to your Easter meal or to the table that you will be setting for your Easter meal. My grandmother loved to set a table. It didn't matter the occasion, whether it was a holiday like Easter or whether she was having a friend come over for tea or coffee. She took great pride and pleasure in setting the table. She would use a different set of china depending on the occasion. She would think through the color and the material of her tablecloth and napkins. She put a lot of thought into each and every detail. For the longest time, I thought it was because she loved pretty things, and she loved the details. And I think she did. But the more I've thought about it over the years, the more I realize that it wasn't simply about setting a pretty table. It was more about creating a place and a space for fellowship and connection to happen. The past three Sundays, four including today, we have been reading from the Gospel of John. Who has been setting the table for us for what we will encounter during Holy Week, which begins next Sunday as we will process in with palms in our hands and hosannas on our lips, to be followed by the reading of the Passion from the Gospel of Matthew. Today's Gospel lesson is not only the final touch of John setting the table, I think it might be the centerpiece as well. You see, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead was the greatest sign or miracle that Jesus would perform. And a few verses after the Gospel lesson we just read, it says that this was the final straw for the religious authorities. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they set it on their minds that they were going to kill Jesus. Why? Why would the authorities think that this particular sign, raising Lazarus, was so threatening that they needed to put him to death after this? Well, for starters, we have to go back to the Ezekiel passage, which says, according to the prophet, that God said, "You shall know that I am the Lord your God when I open your graves." Jesus had opened the grave of Lazarus. He was about to open his own grave and the graves of all people. Jesus had not only caused resurrection, he was resurrection, and it angered the authorities. On the Wednesday evenings of Lent this year, we have been looking at what it means to die faithfully. We've been exploring how our faith and how Jesus' approach to his own death can influence our approach to ours. I've noticed over the last few years that I've been in ministry, both as a pastor and as a chaplain, that people struggle not only to talk about death, but to even think about it. But the reality is that we can avoid it all we want, but none of us will escape death. And none of our loved ones will escape death. So yes, we can, for a variety of reasons, avoid thinking about it, planning for it, or preparing for it. But I'm not so sure that this is a faithful response. And so these Wednesday evenings, we've just begun to scratch the surface. We've just begun to do the hard work of thinking through what it means to die well and to die faithfully with Jesus as our example. And one of the things that we've noticed is that over and over again, one of the things Jesus did was he walked straight toward death, his own death, and the death of others. He didn't avoid death. He didn't avoid talking about it. And he was able to do this because Jesus knew. He knew that death did not hold any power over him. And death does not hold any power over any of us. For Lazarus, for Jesus, and for us, death is not the end. Death does not have the victory. Death does not have the last word. Brothers and sisters, these words aren't just true at funerals and memorial services. They are true always. They are true now. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," several powerful things happened. First, Jesus used the proper name of God, the name that God gave to Moses in the burning bush. Remember, God had told Moses to go to Pharaoh and demand that the Pharaoh let God's people go. And Moses said, "Well, if they ask me who sent me, what shall I say?" And God said to Moses, "Say that I am has sent me to you." God revealed then to Moses God's name, "I am who I am." Yahweh. Yahweh. You've heard me talk about this before. God's name is a verb. All of us, our names are a noun, right? A person, place, or thing. Anna is a noun. Isabel is a noun. Carolina is a noun. But God's name, Yahweh, is a verb. I am. I am who I am. And so when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," he is giving himself, claiming his name to be I am, the name of God, Yahweh. The second thing happening is that Jesus proclaims that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus opens graves. Jesus brings life out of death. "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Yes, Jesus causes resurrection, but Jesus is resurrection. And his words don't end there. He doesn't just say, "I am the resurrection." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." These words bring us to the heart of John's whole gospel. Jesus is the one who brings fullness of life in relationship with God, and not just in the future, but in the present, now. Listen to the verb tenses that Jesus uses. "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." Jesus offers future promises. "Those who die will continue to live." And Jesus also says, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Present verbs, present promises. Because we are living in eternal life now, brothers and sisters. When we were baptized, we were united with Christ in his death, and we were united with Christ in his resurrection. in our baptism, we have already died and we have already been resurrected into eternal life. God has already given us the gift of eternal life, and it began when we were baptized. We are living in it now. It's not just some future promise for when we go to the funeral home. This is God's gift and Jesus' promise to us now. Jesus came to bring life and to bring it abundantly, resurrected life. Life that partakes in the goodness and joy of God now. So when you come forward for communion today, dip your fingers in the water and remind yourself of your baptism. Remember that you have already died and you have already been resurrected to new life, to eternal life. Because God has named you and claimed you as God's beloved child in these waters. Claim the truth that death has no power over you. Brothers and sisters, as we make our way toward the end of this Lenten journey, as we prepare to walk with Christ toward his death, may we hold fast to the truth that Christ has already walked with us toward our death, and in it he has given us new and resurrected life. That even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, because God is with us. May Christ unbind us from our fear of death, because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And those who live and believe in him